This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Now to the story that is riveting so many of us, the prospect of Harry and Meghan making Canada their home, at least part-time. Now, the British press has reported that our government has agreed, while the finance minister denies that there have been any discussions on the matter. The big question for most people is who will pay for their security. And the most recent estimate that I saw is that it could be up to $10 million a year, which is pretty hefty. Meanwhile, the Duchess is here. And yesterday she was visiting a women's shelter in BC, and it was all over social media. So where are we at with this? What do you think? For a lot of people, it's just a question of the money. They say it's fine with us as long as we aren't paying the bill. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And I would like to welcome Alison Eastwood, Editor-in-Chief of Hello Canada.
Hello.
Hello. So, Alison, what would you say that your readers are saying about this? I'm assuming they're pretty supportive.
Absolutely, Libby. Actually, we had a big reader poll just before Christmas in which we asked readers really how they felt about the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's role within the royal family. And there was a huge outpouring of support for them, as well as suggestions that they might break away from the royal family. So really, like, Canadian readers know where it's at. And I feel as though they are much more empathetic toward the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's plight, as it were, than perhaps in Harry's native England.
Is that just because we're not British?
We have the benefit of some distance, and there's certainly that. But also, yeah, I mean, I think even though many Canadians are supportive of the monarchy, as Justin Trudeau has observed, we also don't see why it has to be all or nothing, right? Many people are like, why can't they continue to represent the Queen and, you know, in the Commonwealth and do their charitable work, but also be independent? There are other examples of members of the royal family who have either sought their independence or were just given it at birth, and they do perfectly fine. There's, as you know, this massive outcry, mostly amongst the British tabloids, who are, of course, have been sort of singled out by Harry and Meghan on their Sussex Royal website as being the main reason that they are essentially leaving Britain.
Again, here, from most of the people that I've talked to, it's a money issue. They're
right.
Fine, but they don't want to pay for security. But if Harry and Meghan remain internationally protected persons under the criminal code, then we will be on the hook.
Yes, we will. But the numbers, nobody knows. I've heard everything from 2 million to 10 million. Really, if it's 2 million, many people would see that as a bit of a drop in the bucket, considering the size of our population. In Britain, they claim that the royal family only costs the taxpayer £1 a piece per person every year.
So, in Britain, though, it's a big draw for tourism. And, you know, some people say that would happen here, but I don't see that. What are people going to come to Canada hoping to glimpse them, you know, somewhere on Vancouver Island?
I don't think we should underestimate the power of the royals. I mean, especially the young royals. And if they do choose to make it their home, if they choose to make BC their home, that's going to put it on the global map in a way that it really wasn't before. Most people still see Canada. Even the New York Times still sees Canada as a one big frozen wasteland.
That was ridiculous. Let's bring up, there was this tweet from the New York Times on the weekend saying, I'm trying to remember, Canadians are giddy at the prospect of Harry and Meghan to inject some razzle-dazzle into their bone-chilling tundra. And this is the New York Times that, of course, has a Canada issue and covers things here extensively.
I've been to New York at times when it's been a lot colder than Toronto, yeah. Just for the record.
Which sparked a huge backlash. But
I think there is a certain ignorance about Canada, and I think really the more attention can be drawn to it in a positive way, the better it will be for tourism. And I feel as though it will definitely boost our economy.
And what about, they say they want to be financially independent, but what the heck does that mean? They've trademarked Sussex Royal, and there are, I guess, discussions about what exactly they can do. So they're going to make money off mm-hmm. royal tchotchkes?
Yeah, well, hopefully it's a little more weighty than that. But yes, they have trademarked it for over 100 different products and services of all kinds of things, from obviously their website down to t-shirts and mugs. Clearly they're being very commercially minded, but really in the background is their drive to use this to use their profile to draw attention to the causes that really matter to them. They really do want to make the world a better place and save the planet, and it's not just lip service.
Megan has apparently signed a deal with Disney. And if she is in BC, she'd be close to Los Angeles. But how do you see a prospect? I mean, now that she is an internationally known person by her first name, doesn't that impede her ability to be an actress and portray roles?
I think in these days of social media, that could be said of many celebrities. Sometimes their actual personas are more larger than life than the ones they're portraying on screen. So I don't think that will be an impediment. I wonder about her ability to juggle both things. But she could do that. She did that when she was on Suits. She was also an ambassador for World Vision. She did a lot of charitable work in addition to her day-to-day work as an actress. I think that they have perhaps a slightly utopian view of living and working in Canada and being out of the public eye, because that's simply not going to happen. There's already paparazzi now in BC, obviously hoping for Megan's sightings, and there have been some already. She just did a charitable visit to a women's shelter in Vancouver yesterday.
Yep. So, well, she put that on social media.
She did. But, there have obviously been pictures of her arriving.
Is that
arriving
sort of preparing the ground?
Yes.
Saying, look at me, I'm doing good work.
Yes, definitely. Well, I mean, she's consistently done good work. And, I mean, let's not forget how absolutely vicious the certain members of the press were, and all of the trolling she got on social media, and a lot of it was very racist.
I am here with Allison Eastwood, editor-in-chief of Hello Canada. I'm going to give the numbers out again. If you have something to say about Harry and Meghan and whether they should be allowed to stay here, we're not sure exactly what their immigration status would be, what do you think about, I would think if they stay, it will be likely that we will be on the hook for some of those millions in security detail. That's not worked out yet, but what do you think about that? The number is 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And Allison, we were talking about this racist trolling mm-hmm. of Megan.
On the one hand, everybody is a victim of this, but the level to which it was directed at Meghan was, it was extreme, to say the least. And, you can't blame her. But, I mean, at the same time, I think Meghan in particular is very hyper aware of anything that's written about her in the press. And they certainly highlighted this on their Sussex Royal website, where they broke down exactly how they're going to engage with the media in future. And they are opting out of what's called the Royal Rota, which really is mystifying to most members of the public, perhaps a little bit TMI, but they explained how the tabloid media actually get the best access to the royals when they do their official engagements. And usually they get first dibs on any photos that are released, and they want to put a stop to that. And so they are walking away not only from their sort of British responsibilities, but also from being covered by this sort of clique of reporters and photographers. So it's, they did a big sort of expose of things that, you know, most people had no idea about.
Yeah.
And really as a result of all of the negative press that they've been on the end of. And while you can expect a certain level of that from the tabloids.
A large level of it.
It was excessive.
There are people who say, well, she's been thumbing her nose at royal traditions. You just reminded us, you know, Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of Pork. And before Kate Middleton's marriage, Lady Katie. They were, making fun of her.
I think Kate has probably had the kindest treatment of all of them. But at the same time, she has been she's been a model royal bride, and she is the future queen. So she has less leeway to make missteps. Whereas, you know, Sarah Ferguson being married to Prince Andrew, who's the Queen's third child, and Meghan being married to Harry, sixth in line to the throne, they have had more leeway, and in a way that makes it more difficult for them. Because they're caught between two worlds.
Okay. Let's take a call from Diane in Toronto. Hello, Diane.
My comment is, I have no problem with the two of them moving here. None whatsoever. As for paying for their security, if they are here in Canada representing the British family and the royal family, yes, we obviously would be paying for their security. They're coming here to be independent and making their own money.
Well,
so if that's the case, and they have millions of dollars, the royal family themselves have personally millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. They should be paying for their own security here when they're working, just like every other celebrity and big name person that lives in this country. They pay for their own security, and so should they. The media. In Britain, I can see Harry, who is grew up with his mother being chased around the country and ultimately killed by them chasing her. He's going to be very nervous and concerned about them doing the same sort of thing to Meghan. And so getting out of Britain, I think, would be the best thing for them and for their own mental health.
Okay, Diane, thank you very much for that.
That's a very good point. And I think really the overriding reason that Harry wants to do this is to protect his wife and to protect his child.
Do you see any similarities between the path he is taking and the path of his great uncle who abdicated for an American divorcee?
That is the obvious comparison. And there are some similarities, except that Wallace Simpson and Edward VIII were in effect excommunicated from Britain, and especially as, you know, he had Nazi sympathies.
Yes.
Really had to be sort of disassociated from the royal family, whereas Meghan was very warmly received into the royal family. She got special treatment that no other person coming into the royal family has ever received before. She was invited over Christmas to Sandringham with the Queen before she and Harry were married, which is completely unprecedented. Prince Charles, when her father Thomas Markle couldn't make it to the wedding at the last minute, he took over and walked her down the aisle. There was clearly a lot of fondness. The Queen took Meghan on her special train, which Harry and William and Kate have never been on. And they had a private engagement in Cheshire, just the two of them. So it's difficult to reconcile the idea that the royal family has been unwelcoming with many of the signs that we saw, which was the opposite.
Yeah, So, would you say it's not dissatisfaction with the royal family, but with the press that motivated all of this?
Well, I mean, most of us heard and saw that very candid, very raw interview that Harry and Meghan gave in South Africa, where Harry said that every whir and click of the camera takes him right back to that night that his mother was killed by the paparazzi, as he sees it. And he has never been able to move past that. How could you? I mean, William, in a way, seems to be able to kind of take it and move on and still deal with the press, and he has to in his position. Harry has had a much harder time with it, and he has seen that happening to Meghan over the past 18 months or even 2 years, and it clearly terrifies him. And for Meghan's part, she's both bemused and distraught by the treatment that she's received at the hands of the British tabloids. But I think the main point is that Harry feels it's safer to remove them, and he doesn't want his child to grow up the way that he did.
We are out of time, but just what's next in a few seconds?
What's next? Well, we're looking to see, obviously, how things will unfold in terms of security, in terms of, where they're going to live. They obviously love BC. Meghan has, as we said, just visited a women's shelter there, and they may make their home there. So we're just waiting to... And the Queen is also going to reveal further information about exactly what it's going to look like and how royal Harry and Meghan will be.
Ah, okay. Whether they're still the Duke and Duchess.
Yes, exactly.
Of Sussex Royal. Okay, on that note, I'm going to wrap things up. Alison Eastwood, thank you so much for coming in. It was very interesting. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.